1 week away. Welcome, Bird Gang. On today's show, Danny Sarek joins me. Thursday, the Cardinals held their pre-draft media availability. So what did GM Monty Austin Ford and head coach Jonathan Gannon have to say? What didn't they say? Can we read anything into what was and wasn't said? Let the speculation begin. It's Cardinals Cover 2, Episode 746, and it starts now.
Welcome to Cardinals Cover 2.
Buda Baker, what heart, what threat. This guy's unbelievable.
Cardinals Cover 2 is presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
He's at the 10, at the 5, he's in again! Some more Murray magic!
Wow!
Here's Craig Grealer.
7 days, Danny. 7 days. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's about darn time, because I'm just about ready for the NFL draft to be here and not have to wait those 7 days until the 25th.
Speculation season is almost over, Craig. Home stretch.
And as our colleague Paul Calvisi likes to say, and I really hate giving Paul a lot of credit, but hey, in the absence of information, that leads to speculation. And that's what we have until the Cardinals are on the clock on April 25th. General Manager Monty Austin Fort, head coach Jonathan Gannon held their pre-draft press conference on Thursday. 35 minutes, not a single draft prospect was named out of the mouth of either Monty or JG.
Well, duh, Craig.
One position group was asked about. That was the wide receiver position. Did we learn anything? Nah, probably not. More about the process than anything. But it was a lot of questions and then answers, but not really direct answers to questions.
For the second time, well, duh, Craig. What are you expecting at this point? You know that they're not going to give any names or specifics. It's all going to be broad. It's all going to be they're going to make the decision that is best for the team. And that comes with free agency. That comes with the draft. Making sure they're not too emotionally high on a player and are staying objective and clear-headed. And as Austin Ford said, not necessarily falling in love with a player, just having enough preparation and information to have conviction for the decisions they make starting next Thursday.
And that's easier for a general manager, a head coach, than it is for us, for the fans who fall in love with these particular players and then have your heart set on a particular player. And either you're happy or your heart is broken, but teams don't draft based off of what the fan base wants. As Monty said, they draft based off what's good, what is in the best interest of the team.
I will say, more power to you as a fan to fall in love with the prospect, because that means you're engaged and that means you care. And I don't have a problem with fans falling in love. My advice... I will put it as, is if your team does not draft a player that makes sense to you, is to remember that these teams have copious amounts of information on players, and not just from the offseason and preparing for the draft. Scouts have been traveling and watching these players, these prospects, play in person, on film, for years. 2 to 3 years for some of these players. And when the scouts go and visit, they're talking with coaches. They're talking with acquaintances to get a feel for the character. And then you've got all of this off-season prep leading up to the draft of the All-Star Games, the Combine, the 30 visits, all of the interviews. And it's the medicals. It's the background checks. So many aspects that go into figuring out if these prospects fit, one, on the field, and what the organization is trying to accomplish, where they are at, the coaching staff, all of those pieces, as well as who they are as a person. And as Gannon likes to say, do they pay the price of admission? And from my experience, the Cardinals actually do take that into true consideration. That's something that every GM, right, every head coach they talk about is wanting the right type of person. Doesn't always mean that that's the decision that's made, right? And that's to each their own. You can truly tell based off the free agents that have been brought in the last year and a half, last year's draft class, that this front office, this coaching staff from the top down, they really mean it when they say they prioritize the character and the type of person they are bringing into this locker room.
And that's a good point, because even those that do this, talking about looking at draft prospects, it's their livelihood. It's their full-time job. Those draft analysts, they're looking at film. They're not looking at the person behind the uniform. We always hear, you miss more on the person than you do the player. Is there a passion for the game, or are you playing it because, well, you're told you're 6'4", 280 pounds, you'd be good football player material. But you have to love it. You have to be willing to put in the work Monday through Saturday in order to have that success and the spotlight on you on Sunday. And I think that's what we miss out on, those pre-draft conversations and getting to know the person as opposed to the player, to figure out if they did pay the price of admission, do they belong in that locker room, as I point to the Cardinals locker room down the road or down just beyond us, that is there a fit? Talent-wise, absolutely. But are they going to fit within those other 50 players that we have brought in and hope to mold into a team for week one?
And let's not beat around the bush anymore. The player, the prospect that has gained a lot of traction online around Cardinals fans is wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State.
I've heard of him.
I'm sure you have. Just remember that taking a look at what we saw from the rookie class last year, this front office and this scouting department knows what they're doing, right? So have a little faith. If it's not the player you may have fallen in love with from what you have seen online, or if you have access to watching film, or you've watched college football over the years, just there's a lot of moving parts to the decisions that are made.
It's going to be an interesting night on Thursday, April 25th, especially for those that will be heading out to the Great Lawn outside State Farm Stadium. As I've been saying, come meet Paul. Come say hello to Paul. Paul Calvisi will be out there on night one. Admission, parking free. You do need tickets, digital tickets. Go to azcardinals.com/draft party. Post-draft fireworks, among other activities. Big Red will be out there. Cheerleaders will be out there. Players will be out there. And again, Paul Calvisi will be out there as well. I wouldn't say fear. I do wonder what the response will be in the event it is not Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four, or all of a sudden that commissioner walks to the podium and says, we have a trade. The Arizona Cardinals moved down with the New York Giants, with the Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, Las Vegas Raiders, and what the response will be and how uneasy maybe Paul will be feeling up on stage.
That's Paul's problem.
Exactly.
Think about the last year, the Cardinals trade down, and then you trade back up. So again, there is a method to the madness.
Monty did mention on Thursday that he has an idea of what he would like to do with that fourth overall pick. Can something change his mind between now and Thursday? Absolutely. And he gave a great analogy as far as coming off a pick, and specifically that fourth overall pick. You love your house. You never see yourself moving. Yet you get that knock on the door, and someone says, what will it take for me to buy this house and for you to move somewhere else? And you throw out a number. $2 million, $3 million, whatever it is. And that person says, okay, writes you a check, hands it to you, and as Monty says, turns to his wife, say, honey, pack everything up, we're out the door.
At the very least, you're opening the door to hear what the offer is. Yeah, I agree. I understand the questions of if his phone line is open for business and wanting to trade and listening to teams. Well, of course he is. That's doing your due diligence of a general manager. Now, I think from what we saw last year, we know that that's not all talk. Like, he will, if that's that deal works for them, yeah, they're going to pull the trigger. So it'll be interesting to see how 1, 2, and 3 shakes out. And then if there is a player that is worth the Cardinals sticking around at 4. Or maybe it'll be, you know, the Cardinals don't get an offer that they are wanting to move away from 4, so they stay.
I think everyone's in agreement, and even Monty alluded to it, that they believe, without mentioning names, they believe what the Bears are going to do at number 1. And the assumption is that Caleb Williams goes number 1. Then the Commanders at number 2. In fact, earlier on Thursday, GM Adam Peters told the media and Washington that, quote, we feel great about staying at number two. Don't see a lot of scenarios where we trade down. All right, so you would expect the Commanders to draft a quarterback. What quarterback is that going to be? Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, who knows? The Patriots held their own pre-draft presser on Thursday, and their director of college scouting, Elliot Wolf, told reporters they are open of trading out of number three. Though the response was, if they did stay at number three, is the answer picking one of the top four QBs? Elliot Wolf, quote, I think we'd be comfortable with that, end quote. So that's kind of that's why I don't think anything gets done unless you're the Giants or the Vikings or the Raiders or the Broncos and you move up to number three. Because if you move up to number four, now you've got to wait for three teams to select and wonder, all right, are we in love with four different quarterbacks or four different prospects as opposed to sitting there at number three going, all right, we know Caleb's off the board. Now we just have to take either Jaden or Drake or even JJ, depending on what goes ahead of me. That's why I don't understand why people believe that a trade would be made now, especially if you're only going to go up to five or four. Three, more likely, but not if you're the Cardinals. Well, I don't think the Cardinals or Chargers care, but if you're trying to move up, you want to know what's available to you before moving up.
Especially if you're moving up to take a franchise quarterback, which is what all these moves presumably would be for. It would be kind of wacky if New England just throws a wrench in all this and doesn't take a quarterback. Then what? Because if someone's trading up to three to get a quarterback, that's not going to change what the Cardinals are doing. Now, they might not get as many phone calls, to your point of, okay, well, we don't want the quarterback at number four. You know what I mean? But I don't know. That would just be kind of wacky if New England goes rogue.
With a position player?
Yes.
It would make that fourth overall selection maybe even more enticing.
Yeah.
To some other teams because now all of a sudden,
okay, the ball's rolling.
There's more quarterbacks available to you. Only two are off the board. Yeah, I don't see that scenario happening, but we've been surprised before when we don't expect or we have an anticipation of how things are going to shake out, and then all of a sudden it's a name you haven't thought about or someone goes higher than expected or there's a trade and that throws everything for a loop. So it's the best reality TV out there, especially those first 5, 10, 15 picks because, as Monty alluded to, we all have our own personal draft board as far as what we think or who should be ranked where. All these teams, 32 different teams have draft boards, 32 different rankings. Not any of these teams have their top, whatever, 50, 60 players all ranked the same because, Monty alluded to it, they rank not only based off of talent, but fit. Do they fit within the offense, within the defense?
Yeah, I think that's part of the fun is not knowing as fans, but I guess not knowing the specifics of where all these teams have players ranked differently, but that's kind of the fun of it of, okay, well, they took that player up here. You know, is that because they were worried? Is that because they had him ranked higher? That's really interesting. I think it's a fun part of the draft of how similar yet different all of these teams prepare and rank and end up drafting.
By the way, what do we make of the reports, and really not reports, but per Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, and they acknowledge that this is coming from Jaden Daniels' agent, a week ago, a private meeting with the Giants who have the sixth overall pick. Later on Thursday, a private dinner with the Vikings with the 11th overall pick. If you're Jaden Daniels, or the agent of Jaden Daniels, why are you even agreeing to a private dinner with a team that has the 11th overall pick? Unless you've been given assurances that you have the ability to move up to a top four pick.
We don't have cameras rolling, but I just roll my eyes at
Craig. I know,
Craig.
But isn't that a waste of time if you're Jaden Daniels?
No.
Why?
Because it's the same thing of us saying it's due diligence for a general manager to have their phone lines open, even if they really don't have an interest in trading because they have a player, they want to take it where they are. You're doing your due diligence of if you're Jane Daniels meeting with these teams because you don't know what's going to happen.
That's
and the same conversation we had about players not doing medicals at the combine. You don't know what the future holds in the next 1 to 5 years. And for people that are still going to be with that organization, this is your chance to make a first opportunity. And those matter. Those connections, that the networking part of it still matters. It's the same thing of when we had discussions of, oh, well, you know, Caleb Williams wasn't doing his medicals with everybody, only with the teams he was visiting. Well, that's kind of silly, because what if it doesn't work out in Chicago? And then, you know, you're in the future, you've already missed out on sharing that with other teams and having that connection. And it's the same thing if you're Jaden Daniels and you're meeting with teams that are way down where you are projected to draft. Why wouldn't you?
I think it's on the agent to let the client know, yeah, there's a real possibility. Because if there's no possibility, if I'm an agent and I'm on the phone with the Vikings or whatever, I need to know. Have you had conversations? Give me the percentage on how realistic this is, because I'm not sending my client to Minnesota or wherever, or even if they come see me, because it's a waste of time.
I disagree. I think you could argue, what do you have to lose at this point? You haven't been drafted. You haven't proven anything on the field. And I know that you're talking about where you're projected and what you did in college. I would argue the opposite of, you're a prospect and you're trying to get drafted. You have nothing to lose by talking to these teams, because teams wouldn't be asking for this if they didn't have the possibility, or they didn't have at least a desire to make a move to get him. Minnesota knows he's not going to fall to 11.
I think you have to have more of a desire if you're that, if you're the Vikings in this scenario.
Right,
I think you have to have more than just a desire.
As an agent, I'm not telling my player don't, or I'm not telling team he's not coming if you're not telling me that there's a 90% chance you're making a trade. They're not reaching out if they don't have the desire to begin with.
Well, that would be, okay, why wouldn't any other team in the 20s or whatever? I have a desire to meet with your client. I think it matters on where you're selecting. If you're the Giants at 6, okay, sure, because it's a lot easier to move up from 6 to 3 or 4. Different when you're 11, 12, 13, or even lower than that. If I'm playing the role of agent and I'm advising you, Danny Sarek, yeah, there's no way. You're wasting your time.
How do you know that? How do you know there's no way when trades don't happen till draft day? You really think that all these GMs are going to put all their chips on the table to an agent? Agents who are known for leaking
things?
No,
but there's a lot of back channels. You can get an inkling on whether something's in the works, and then it just falls through, which might happen. But hey, yeah, we're having some serious conversations with the Patriots, with the Cardinals, with the Chargers. We like our chances. We just want to meet with your client, Jaden Daniels, for a little bit more information.
Yeah, but I guess if you're a team, why would you want to meet with a quarterback if that weren't the case, right? Like, I think I'm just confused on, like, if the team is wanting to meet with the quarterback, of course they're going to have a desire and they're going to think there's a possibility.
I'm looking at it from Jaden, in this case, again, Jaden Daniels. What's it to him? There's no way I'm going to reach 11, so you have to assure me that you're moving up to the top 5. Because in this age of player empowerment, and we've already seen it, you already mentioned it, the combine, these players are taking more control of their future.
You're saying Jaden Daniels is saying, I'm not going to meet with you unless you can promise me I'm going to be a top 5 pick?
No, that you are going to be able to move up to the top 5.
How does anybody know that?
They don't know.
The Vikings don't know what other phone calls Arizona's getting. They can't promise that.
No, I know that. There's no assurances on any of this. But you better not burn me as an agent or a client.
How is he getting burned by going and having a dinner and talking with them?
Well, it's a free meal.
He could still be drafted 3rd overall to New England, even if he's having dinner with Minnesota.
If anything, that makes him
more of a desirable prospect. So why would his agent tell Jaden, don't get dinner with them? Yeah, look desirable to other teams that are going to be willing to trade up and jump ahead to get you.
I think I'm looking at it more from the player perspective as opposed to the team perspective. That's how I see it.
Agree to disagree.
Of course. That's what makes it fun here on Cardinals Cover 2, presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. We can agree, though, that this is, at least I believe, an important draft for Monty Austin-Fort. When you have 11 draft picks, 6 in the first 90, 2 in the first round, this can, as Daniel Jeremiah mentioned on X earlier, can set up the Cardinals in the next 5 to 7 years. Asked about that, Monty Ossenfort said, every draft's important, though I do think because of the draft capital and where you're selecting with those first six picks, this is where you really can lay the foundation for the next, as Daniel Jeremiah alluded to, 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, I think that's a fair sentiment on all fronts to have. That's what the goal is of every draft. Considering where the Cardinals are picking and how many picks they have, I think that's fair to say this can set them up for 5 to 7 years, because their draft picks can set them up for 5 to 7 years. That's realistic. Not every draft pick is going to be a starter. Not every draft pick is going to be here for 5 to 7 years. But when you're looking at the talent, when you're looking at, again, the placement of these picks, the Cardinals have put themselves in a very, very good position.
This is what Daniel Jeremiah posted on April 14th. This draft will determine the next 5 to 7 years for the Arizona Cardinals. They have an opportunity to set themselves up for a really nice run. End of post. And I read that and I think back to the last draft class that really set up the Arizona Cardinals for a very nice run, including a Super Bowl appearance, and that was the 2004 draft class. Larry Fitzgerald, Carlos Dansby, Darnell Dockett, Antonio Smith. You got one, maybe the greatest, maybe not even the greatest Arizona Cardinal in Larry Fitzgerald, and three key defensive players. Not just rotation players, starters. And I do think, hopefully, that's what we do here in a year or two. We look back, and not only 2024, but 2023, and say, all right, the first two draft classes, Monty Ossenfort, really put the Cardinals in position to have a 3, 4, 5, 6-plus-year run of being a playoff contender and hopefully a deep playoff run, dare I say, a Super Bowl.
The timeline for teams to be very good consistently is not long, with the exception of the Patriots or the Chiefs as of late, right? Typically, it's a short lifespan. So that's why these drafts are important, is you have to hit on these players. And it's not just so that they play well. When you're talking about rookie contracts, and then you're talking about the cap and what type of free agents you can bring in and fill some holes and get some star power in that front, that all stems from who you're drafting. Again, not just who your starters, your rotational players are, but from a financial standpoint. And the fact that the Cardinals right now have their franchise quarterback in Kyler Murray. That situation, I mean, in terms of, you know, financially and everything else, I mean, not just with Kyler, but with some of these other staple players, right? Like, it's going to be a different group. So as you're trying to build upon the pieces you have now, it's a short time of where you can really find success at the peak of people's careers. And that all starts from the draft. And to your point, right, it took a couple years after that 04 draft to really everybody hit its prime and they were rolling on all cylinders. And that's why these drafts, last year's draft, this year's draft, is really setting up the foundation for that long-term success.
I look over to my right here inside the radio studio at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center, and I see NFC West Division banner 2008, NFC Championship banner 2008, NFC West Division banner 2009, all going back 5 years earlier to 2004. And again, hopefully it doesn't take 5 years, because in this day and age, you really sometimes don't have 5 years. But that ascension to the top, and then hopefully you stay at the top, that is what's really difficult. You mentioned the Patriots, the Chiefs now. The Steelers have always kind of been, you know, a playoff contending team. But to be among the elite and stay there for a 5, 6, 7 year run, it's hard. It's darn near impossible outside of the Patriots and Chiefs because, to your point, can't pay everybody. There are limitations on what you can do to keep a roster intact, and then picking which players you want to keep. That's why the draft, going back to the free agency versus draft, how do you build? Well, you bring in young, bring in youth, and then you hope to develop them and then pay them, and then you start the cycle all over again. But it goes back to what's going to happen a week from Thursday, and that is making sure you hit on most of your draft picks.
There's a risk to every draft pick. I think the risk feels so much greater when you have a higher pick, somewhere like a 4, if it kind of feels maybe oh, there's pressure. You have so many options. Like, you got to make sure you're hitting the right one. But there's a risk with every draft pick.
Anything else stand out from either Monty or JG, who sometimes just kind of felt like he was sitting there listening to the questions? I did appreciate the shout out, though, from Monty, as he basically named everyone within the organization. He did mention the media, thanking us for being here, part of the process. Are we not part of the draft process?
No, Craig.
No,
the draft would go on with or without us. I hate to break it to you. Monty was naming by name everybody in the scouting department who has had a hand in the last year, which I do appreciate. But and while it was a nice gesture to thank the media, yeah, sorry, Craig, to burst your bubble. The draft would happen next week with or without us.
But who's going to do all those mock drafts that Monty now will read and figure out, all right, there's a scenario I didn't think about.
Darren would still do them.
Yeah, Darren and Paul and everyone else, no?
I don't think Paul does mock drafts. Darren does.
No, Paul just reads them and then puts them on, posts them, and then tries to get a reaction from the fan base.
I think so.
All the trade down scenarios that are out there. By the way, that's a loud conversation. I'm kind of leaning more towards a trade out than stick and pick, at least right now.
Interesting.
Do you have a gut feeling at all? I won't hold you to it.
I feel like my gut is staying. They're going to stay at four.
So you have conviction?
No, not yet.
To use Monty's word. Okay.
I don't have conviction yet.
Not yet.
But that's what my gut, a little more than a week out from night one, is telling me.
That would be a first, by the way, since you've been with the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure would.
And we've done the Cardinals Draft Central show.
Yeah, that's right, because my first year that I was here for the draft, at least, because I started like week four of the 2021 season, was the trade for Hollywood Brown.
So there was not a first-round pick.
No first-round pick. And then last year was the trade for Paris Johnson Jr., and now this year. Should we plug Cardinals Draft Central while we're at it?
Might as well.
Live draft show with Craig, Paul, and myself. You can stream it on the official YouTube channel. It's going to be Friday this year, starting at 3. So 3 to 4, it'll lead right into live coverage of the draft, day 2, rounds 2 and 3. So it's going to be a lot of good stuff. We're going to have some sit-down interviews with the head coach and GM. Sit down interviews with the players. We're going to, you know, I've already had press conferences to talk about at that point.
Potential players. You might be very busy.
Well, as of now, there will be two first round
picks. Yes, at least
picks,
two.
Two players. Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry.
You say at least two.
I'm sorry. At least one.
At least one.
Likely two.
Likely two.
Potentially three.
Oof. We'll be busy.
An impossibility that there's four.
What? I haven't seen anything about four first-round picks. That would be crazy. But yes, our live stream draft coverage show Friday, 3 p.m. Arizona time is when we will begin.
On the Cardinals YouTube channel, websites, and on X, previously Twitter. But yeah, and Bird Gang, you're not going to miss any of the coverage of day two, whether you're watching ESPN or ABC or NFL Network. We will be well off the air
prior
to 4 p.m., so you don't miss any of it. So we're the appetizer. We're the lead-in.
I love a good appetizer.
Exactly. Mozzarella sticks? I'm sorry. Someone between the two of us hasn't had lunch yet, so I'm just going to...
Mozzarella sticks do sound really nice right now.
Chicken wings? No?
No more, Craig.
Okay. We'll let Danny go get some food.
Thanks.
You're welcome. On that note, we'll put a lid on this edition of Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. As always, special thanks to our executive producer, Jim Omohundro, our associate producer, Cody Fincher. For Danny Sarek, I'm Craig Riolu. We'll talk to you next time here on Cardinals Cover 2.